This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Hitting top of the hour here on ESPN 97. Shortest breaks. If you had to bet, do you think that Roberto Osuna has thrown his last pitch for the Houston Astros? He's out through next year.
Oh, I think he and Verlander maybe both have. Justin Verlander may not be. He may have thrown his last pitch in Major League Baseball. I don't see Justin Verlander coming back if he has Tommy John surgery, in which he hasn't. That has not been said or stated. But if the initial report from Chandler Rome ends up being true, and we have no idea right now what it's going to be, if he is out for the year and requires a surgery, I believe Justin Verlander will shut it down.
So next year,
in Osuna, this will be the last. I don't think he'll be.
I kind of am okay with. I mean, I know. Listen, in today's world, Osuna is one of the better closers. And his stats show it. He's one of the better closers in baseball this year. And in his time here, I kind of feel like he was the beginning of the downfall of the Houston Astros.
Just a bad karma thing.
Yep. I mean, and that was the toxic atmosphere. Win at all costs. Doesn't matter what you do to win.
I think
and Roberto Osuna. I think for me, he changed the organization.
Well, so the argument against that has been that that was actually going on well before then. Not necessarily. That's one very specific. But the win-at-all-cost stuff, the way that
well, obviously it was going on because they were banging trash cans. We didn't know it, but they were doing it.
But even before then, you had personnel people who were and scouts who were dismissed and.
Yeah.
Who had some ugly things to say, I guess, behind the scenes as
yeah, but we hadn't people. Heard those yet, though. We hadn't heard them yet. When Osuna got here, that was the first public indication.
But it was already going on.
It was already going on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It was already going on.
It was already
no, but this was the first one where you went, really? I mean, we like our team. We really like our team. Why are we getting a guy that we can't? It's hard to root for.
Well, but they did need a closer, but they wait so long. Like Leno was just couldn't pull the trigger on pitching. He waited forever, and then had to have Justin Verlander fall in his lap. He couldn't make a deal that year. Now you know it. Also,
he would argue, yeah, go ahead, make a Verlander trade. Well, see how easy that is.
Well, no, but it also wasn't like Justin Verlander really wasn't even in discussions. The first round of, you know, before the trade deadline, the thought was he would not approve any trade, so he wasn't going to waive his no trade, so it wasn't going to matter. So Sonny Gray was like, oh, God, oh, Sonny Gray? Sonny Gray's done since he was traded. But so I understood, but they did need pitching help, but they got pitching help with Justin Verlander, but it did, you know, it came, it was fortuitous.
It was obvious, yeah.
It was fortuitous. But the closer thing, there was like six closers on the market that the Astros, I think Brad Hand was one of them. Kimbrel, I believe, was one of them. There were all these closers that the Astros could have gone for. They waited till the very end.
But they did. The Baltimore, remember, in Baltimore backed out of the deal.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And but thank God they did.
Yeah, but they still waited until the very end and they said, what about that guy with the domestic abuse case pending? What's he look like?
No, I think we're thinking of different years. The Baltimore thing.
I'm talking about the 18.
Yeah. No, I know.
You're talking about 17.
Yeah, 17.
Yeah,
They had that. And Baltimore backed out, and then they got.
No, but 18, they waited and waited and
right,
waited.
Right.
And then all the different.
Well, here's the deal, though. You make a better deal as it gets, hey, we got to get rid of this guy, and we really want to move him. You make a better deal the longer you wait. Of course, you get them. You know, you're really taking a big chance, but he stole all of those trades. He won all of those trades with the guys that he brought in. It's just that it was very deflating to bring in Osuna and have that hanging over an organization that we thought, Wow, what a great organization, spotless. There are a bunch of guys that we like that we can root for. Like I said with Greg Hardy, if the Texans had brought in Greg Hardy, I can't root for him. I mean, I can't. I just can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy he was a scumbag. And he was violent against women. I just don't want to root. I want to root for guys that I like. I would rather lose for guys that were just almost there. Oh, dang it. You know what? But a bunch of good guys than a bunch of a-holes that won a championship.
Yeah. Now, the Astros that same year did get Ryan Pressly on the 27th.
Yes, yeah.
Ryan Pressly has been a huge, very good
No. They got Osuna and Pressly. I remember I was out of town and I.
But
and,
Pressly and was not considered the closer. He was not the closer. He was an arm at that time.
No. But again, bringing in Osuna was the first indication publicly that this organization was a win at all costs and everything else be damned. Winning was. We don't care about character. We don't care about anything except one thing, and that's winning. And we'll take guys with this kind of checkered background, and we don't care. We just want to win. And that kind of put the organization in a different light. For me, it did anyway. I don't know about the rest of you. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. Gary wants to get in and talk about Osuna. Gary, when he came here, What did you think when the Astros picked up Osuna?
I was extremely surprised. I kind of feel the same way you did when it happened. I'm like, this is not who I thought this organization was. And then kind of when we got creamed by the Red Sox, I thought it was kind of crazy. But I'm like, that's what we get. I just always felt it was like a bad omen. And then seeing all of the things that came out afterward, like how the assistant GM treated the woman reporter and the cheating scandal. The Osuna thing was definitely, looking back, like the first sign that this is not the sparkling clean. It was a very successful organization, but it didn't have the character that I thought we all had, and that kind of showed out.
I agree with you. That's exactly the way I felt. I just felt like, oh, man, I like rooting for good guys. And Osuna's not. He's not. And I don't want to judge Roberto Osuna, but that's not the kind of guy that. He certainly didn't fit into the 17 Astros with the fun and the, you know, and the camera, looking at the camera and the, you know, the George Springers and the, I mean, and then every guy in that locker room had to answer about domestic violence. And when that was not ever, what, this is what the champs are have to answer to about domestic violence when, you know, they're the champs, they're the good guys, they're the fun team. And now this is a domestic violence locker room. So I thought that was the beginning. And if Roberto Osuna doesn't pitch again for the Astros, I'm fine with that. I've always, isn't it? I mean, honestly.
I'm not connected. I don't have an emotional connection at all.
No. When Roberto Osuna comes in, there is just a little inkling of, I don't know about that. There's still a little, you're a little bit torn about, I don't know. I am. I guess. I hope he gets the outs, but I just don't. I just don't like rooting for him.
Yeah, there's some of that. I just don't care for him as a baseball player either. I don't. Like I said, I like a guy who is. He does the same stuff over and over, right in the heart of the plate. He doesn't hit spots. He tries to. There's two different things here. There's the person and then the pitcher, and I don't like the fact that he's like, all right, well, I'm just going to chunk it as fast as I can over the heart of the plate, and if you hit it, you hit it. And that's just not – I don't see anything different. He doesn't strike me as a pitcher. He's just a thrower. I still think that I want pitchers. You can have some throwers on your team, but I don't want throwers. You know where throwers go? They're the fourth starter, the fifth starter, or their arms in your bullpen. You don't want throwers to be one of your top three starters or – even throwers become the good ones, the really good ones, the ones who have big arms and who are throwers. If they're going to be really good, they become pitchers at some point. And I don't think Osuna strikes me as a guy who's going to become a pitcher, a guy who can win with you know, can fool you with where he's going to place the ball, what he's going to do with his pitches. He doesn't give me that at all. I don't get that at all from him. Ryan Pressly, when he's on his game, you know, did some of that stuff. I don't feel like Ryan Pressly's a closer. Obviously, there's no history to show that he's a closer, but having Ryan Pressly, having Peacock back if you could get them. When you look at what happened yesterday, I mean, they were on Lance McCullers. And what can Dusty do? You can take him out, but you can't just keep going and getting your starters in inning three and inning four forever. Your bullpen's A, not good enough, and B, at some point, you got to think your starters, like a Lance McCullers, is going to be better than what you could go to in the bullpen. And if he's not, that's a problem.
Yeah, all these injuries are catching up to him. There's no question. I mean, there's another Samaria or Samanthia or Calabria. There's a new guy now. Who the hell is this guy? No, Sanabria. I never heard. I mean, this is guy after guy after guy making his first ever, I guess it's his first ever appearance. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But my goodness, you just can't keep going. I mean, when you look at this roster and you, this bullpen, you're like, oh my gosh, how in the world are you winning any games? With these guys, it's just ridiculous how the Astros are just a piecemeal in it. There's no. I mean, and you know, I still watching them. I still want to see them win. I think the offense. Now here's the deal: the offense, you got to take this thing over. You know what? You got to put up the 14. If they score 10, you got to score 11. That's all. You guys are. This is a bunch of really, really. This is one of the best lineups in all of baseball. You know what? You got to overcome this.
Well, 7 is a pretty good. Like,
it's not enough.
Well, not 14. You're not overcoming 14.
No. And you, guess what? It's not enough. It's not good enough. Wow, Sanabria. No, what is a Sanabria? It sounds like one of my people, though. I like that.
It sounds like one of your people.
Yeah.
So yesterday, I mean, this is going to be the case. You have three. Hold on a second. Yeah, you have three guys making their debut. Oh, hold on. You have three guys making their debut in Major League Baseball. Not their debut, but this is their debut season. This is their rookie season. You went Lance McCullers, and then everyone from the bullpen's like still looking around, like, I've never been here before. This is weird. Is this what Arizona always looks like? Like, yeah, Sanabria. Yeah, Nivaldo Rodriguez. Sure it is. Bailey. All these guys are like, this is so cool.
Well, yeah.
I wish there were people in the stands. It would be amazing. Like, yeah. Where were you last year? I was in the minors. I know all these guys.
I was in Paris, Texas. What? They got a team? Yeah.
I played for Baltimore's minor league team.
And yeah, I played in the short A league. What?
Yeah. We played in a Cape Cod League in the summer, and then in the spring we'd go and play in a league where I played for the Rascals. I'm like, oh, you play for the Rascals?
Awesome. I pitched for Narragansett last year. Where? What the hell is a Narragansett? What? No, all these guys are. They're all of them.
They're all like in rookie seasons. That's why Peacock and you got to get Urquidy back at some point. You got to get Peacock back at some point. You got to get Pressly back. Justin Verlander, if you're going to call somebody a lie, then come on back.
Yeah,
you please. Say, that man is a lie.
Man, Chandler Rome is having a
Chandler
bad...
Chandler Rome is a lie. Then get your... Chandler Rome sitting there secretly hoping, like, well, I mean, if he did go out for the year, it might make my report look better.
So...
Shut up, Chandler.
So, Belak is starting tonight. So, there's another one, Brandon Belak. So, Chandler Rome, before the game yesterday, said... Belak is starting tonight, but Belak is actually starting. The next day, and it was like he's pushing Greinke back one day, but Chandler Rome put out that Belak was starting last night, and boy, he went, my bad, that's so stupid, I apologize. There is so much pressure on Chandler Rome right now for Justin Verlander to be out for the season. After he announced that last week, that I think he's really like, he's got to watch everything. Chandler Rome's got to watch everything that he says. And he made a mistake last night, and he was could not have been more apologetic.
Oh, really?
813 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 816 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Biscuit wants to get in here and talk about the Osuna deal. What do you say, Biscuit?
Hey, top of the morning to you, fella.
What's up, bro?
Hey, man, correct me, man. Last, refresh my memory, man. Since Osuna's been an Astro, he got drunk driving or some kind of altercation or some incident happened?
No, not that I recall. Do you recall that, John?
Okay, well, I mean, okay, we're gonna crucify a man over incident. We don't know what really happened, but it just, okay, what Brandon will say he did what they say he did.
Well, we don't know. We don't know. So I do need to say this in all fairness, because mostly I've been focusing on his pitching stuff. I don't like him as a pitcher, and I haven't. And I put that out there. But it is worth saying this. There has been no videos that have come out. It was the charge could have been worse, and it wasn't worse, the charge in Canada, because it was in Canada, right?
Yep.
The charge was in Canada, and they have a different methodology in terms of how they charge. So we don't have anecdotal. Everything stayed sealed. They did not unseal those documents as well. So I assume the Astros have a way of getting to that information. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but it is worth noting, because we went through all this at the time when all this was going on. We do not have any anecdotal evidence about what exactly happened with Osuna. That is fair to say that, Biscuit. I just want to put that out there for people who have maybe kind of forgotten. We don't know for
let's
sure.
Let's say, worst case scenario, he did something. Okay. The man made a mistake. Okay. I'm with Lance. The thing with Osuna is not the incident that happened, you know, between him and the missus, is he's pitching. He wasn't effective on the field. And let's focus on his on the field stuff. Not something he did in the past. He made a mistake. He learned from it. He didn't come over here making any problems in the locker room. He was a model citizen. Let's stick to the. I don't live in no glass house, man. I can't throw no stones, man. I done made some mistakes in my past too, man. Let's not crucify the man over one incident, man. To put him in the same conversation as Greg Hardy, that's wrong. That's wrong, John.
Why? Why is that wrong?
Well, we don't know.
Why is that wrong?
Numerous occasions, Hardy said foolish stuff, did foolish stuff. We know he pulled guns on women and stuff.
No. He had one incident. He had one incident where he threw the girl off of the onto the bed that was. You don't hold on, Biscuit. You don't know Roberto Osuna either. You don't know that Roberto Osuna didn't have it. So he struck this woman, and you just assume it was that was the one time he's ever done that.
Well, that's all we know of.
That's all we know of with Greg Hardy too. That's all we know of with Greg Hardy.
I'm talking about the incidents and times when Greg Hardy was in the locker room. Talking off the top of his head, saying insane things, doing insane. I'm not just talking about when he was with Carolina. I'm talking about when he was with the Cowboys.
He did have more than one. Greg Hardy had two instances. Oh, he had the incident. Greg Hardy's had a couple different incidents. Greg Hardy is. I can't put Osuna in Greg's category just because I don't know. We have plenty of anecdotal info on Greg Hardy. We don't have it on Osuna.
From what I can tell, as far as Greg Hardy's wiki is concerned, as far as the issues, it was the issue with the woman, as John mentioned, throwing her on the one incident in May of 2014. He did have a cocaine possession thing in 2016, but I can't find another issue with him.
And on the field stuff with them.
To the point of don't crucify Osuna, it's not like this show talks about Osuna in that regard. It just happened to come up today. But it hasn't been, since he was acquired, a long, drawn-out thing. Well, remember what he did to that woman?
It was really more then.
Yeah. It happened then, and then it came up today because of we're talking about the Astros and what has happened over...
Karma and all that
stuff. No. And listen, and Biscuit, the whole thing was about your... my feeling toward the organization changed with that. And I mean, you can have your feeling. I'm talking about my feeling. And I know, and we had so many calls about Osuna when he came, is that why are we doing this? Why are we bringing this guy in? We love our team. We love the guys on this team. And it changed because of that. It changed because you're bringing in a guy like that into a clubhouse that, listen, I can't remember a team that I liked as much as the 2017 Astros. How much fun they were having, how exciting they were, how clutch they were, how it just seemed like they were a family, how they were, and little did we know that they were doing all kinds of other stuff behind the scenes, but it was just one of the best teams that, as far as fun and likability that I'd ever seen, and it changed when Osuna came. That's what I'm saying. I'm not crucifying the guy. I just don't. You know what? If Roberto Osuna never came and you didn't have him as a closer and you had to struggle with whatever closer, oh well. To me, I would have rather had that. I think it put it cast a darkness over the organization that it didn't have before, and I think it was the beginning of what we're seeing now with this Astros team. That's the most hated organization. Yeah, went from one of the most beloved to to the most hated organization in sports.
But you don't have anything that backs that up, because when you think about it, they're still just as friendly, and they, like, that didn't change who they were. Maybe it changed it for you. I know what you're saying. I don't think it changed anything. The players are just as friendly. They were eight outs away from winning a World Series last year. They were having fun on the field. Like, that didn't really change. It just feels like a jinx, honestly.
Yeah.
It just feels like a huge-ass jinx that, like, man, things just started going sideways. When really, after they acquired them, they didn't get out of the – they got beat by another cheating team. They got beat by one of the guys who invented cheating for the Astros, Alex Cora. And then the next year, they got – you know, A.J. Hinch made a bad decision. He just made a poor bullpen decision. But I don't think Osuna had anything to do with players not have feeling it anymore, any of that stuff.
No.
They still look like the same team that loved each other and all that stuff.
No.
It just changed for you. And it felt a little different for me, too, a little bit. Just a little bit.
Well, and it brought into the locker room something that they hadn't had before. And I know this. You know, they didn't love answering all the domestic. There was none of that crap was going on.
It was a little heavier. Yeah, it was.
And they had to, and Justin Verlander was a huge advocate against domestic violence, and he had to accept Osuna. Yes, yes, that was a difficult, Luno put them all in a difficult situation.
That's all, those are all.
McCullers, Verlander,
that's right.
They were so, remember how adamant they were about the Astros minor leaguer?
Right.
And how, what a scumbag he was, and how they get out of our organization, and then, hey, come on, bring Osuna in.
Well, that guy should be in prison right now.
Right. He should be the way, yeah. There was a video of him dragging her down the stairs.
Yeah.
And those guys were all so against that, and then, hey, let's bring in Osuna. Oh, what?
Yeah, he really did
put, I thought you guys were against that.
Well, what happened was 2017 Astros, history will not show this. People will not remember this. That was a team beloved by a lot of the country because they beat the Yankees. Nobody likes the Yankees. So this fun-loving group of guys, diverse team with players who are biracial, white, black. You had, I'm not sure Asian was on that team, but you just had the Cuban guy. You just had, it was like the melting pot of baseball. They're young. They're having fun. They're jumping up and down after games, doing their handshakes. It was a fun, fun team, and that was the vibe. And people around the country love the Astros. People around the country, I heard it from so many people when I'd go out to L.A., like, man, that team, the Astros, in 2018, God, they were so much fun. I loved when they beat the Yankees. I didn't love it when they beat the Dodgers, but if the Dodgers couldn't win, you know, the Astros – you know, that was a team that really I liked a lot from the American League the whole time, and yada, yada, yada. Now, well, once they got Osuna, that kind of changed the vibe of now the Astros are the guy that had somebody. And it is who we are now. We are rushed to, he's guilty until proven innocent.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it is. He's guilty until proven innocent. So now you've got a guy, forget all the stuff you just said, which was all valid about all these guys were put in a terrible position. You also are dealing with the fact now that this fun-loving team and this happy-go-lucky team, their closer is somebody who was brought back into Major League Baseball after a prolonged suspension for domestic violence. It just was a pall. It cast a pall, as they say.
That's right.
Over the entire organization. Over the organization.
That's why I'm – and if he – again, and this whole conversation started with us, if he doesn't pitch again for the Astros –
I don't care.
I'm okay. You know what? It's hard, and I got mine, and I hope you get yours. But wearing a mask all the time, I mean, it's just the new norm. Okay, but I'll walk into the parking lot. Oh crap! I forgot mine. I'm keeping mine in my pocket all the time. My Boomer Natural. It's so easy to wear. It is so breathable, and that's a key to the. But the second thing is this, is that if you are really concerned that you want the protection, and they have nano silver technology woven into the fabric, nano silver can block the tiny drops and particles from getting to the nose and mouth. There's so many paper thin masks that look like, why am I really wearing this? Because if a droplet did hit this thing, it's just basically paper, and then that would get in my mouth. Not with the Boomer Natural Mask. So if you're looking for the Boomer Natural Mask, it's very easy. BoomerNaturals.com. Oh, by the way, for every face cover that you buy, they'll send one to a nonprofit and a charity. So we found that we had Suzanne on the other day. Very nice people. And this is the thing. You got to wear a mask. So why don't you get a Boomer Natural Mask? Free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online at BoomerNaturals.com. Put in promo code Granato, Granato. BoomerNaturals.com. Promo code Granato.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Stand corrected. The championship Astros, the ones who won the championship. No.
Nori Aoki.
No.
Yeah, Nori Aoki was on the team.
He was traded July 31st.
But he was on that team. He got a share.
He was on the team.
He got a share.
So on July 30th, before the trade deadline, he was traded for Francisco Liriano. So they had Cuban.
Yeah.
Japanese.
Right.
They have Puerto Rican and Carlos. They have, I'm trying to remember.
They have Mexican.
Venezuelan for Altuve, right?
Yep.
He's Venezuelan. George is from Connecticut.
Right. They had Connecticut.
They have a Canetian. You had who
I think
did
they're
you just
Connecticutans.
Say?
Huh?
Who did you just say before?
They had Mexicans?
Who?
The catcher. Was Mexican. Maldonado
is they've gone through so many catchers.
Yeah.
Like I've got to go look at who their roster was. They have just ripped through catchers. Brian McCann was Mexican. That's a good call.
Probably not him. He was your uncle in the garage.
Oh, Centeno.
Yeah.
Centeno. Yeah, Juan Centeno.
Juan Centeno. I need him. Yeah.
Remember, they went down
to Mexico and they had a... Of course, Altuve was a big hit
Juan
down there.
Juan Centeno is not Mexican.
Yeah, I didn't think he might.
He's Puerto Rican.
Oh.
You're aware.
I know there was a Mexican on the team because when they went down to Mexico, maybe it was the next year.
I'm looking at 2017. There's on the roster.
Oh, last year's guys had. That's right.
There was not
a catcher from the Rangers.
Well, they had Gudwan. Remember him?
Yeah.
Dominicano.
Mm-hmm. They had everything. Listen,
Roberto Osuna is Mexican.
No, but they didn't have him on that.
They didn't have.
He was on the 18 team. Obviously.
Was Mike Fire?
No.
Mike Fires pitches today, by the way.
Charlie Morton.
I'm looking at the entire roster, and they have flags next to their
names. Charlie Pinchu.
Yeah, do you see
Morton?
It?
there is not a Mexican flag next to anybody on the 2017 roster.
Hold on. No, he's Dominican too.
Oh, there's
well,
not?
There's not a ton of like.
Well, no, it was last year's team with the catcher.
Now, Mexico doesn't crank out as many baseball players as the, oh, as wow, the Dominican.
Whoa, why are we disparaging Mexico now?
Jose Urquidy and Osuna were the two Mexican players on the team last year.
Where's Marwin from?
Well, he's not from Mexico.
Oh, he's Venezuelan also. Yeah. Okay. So, Venezuelans, Dominicans, Cubanos.
Puerto Ricans. And even Chirinos was from Venezuela as well.
He was? Chirinos was? Yes. He was Venezuelan?
Yes.
I thought he was Mexican.
African-Americans, Ryans? No, Presley came in 18. We had Mike Fiers. We
Peacocks?
Had Will Harris.
We had Peacocks?
Kind of.
Will Harris.
Southeastern.
Mike. I'll give you guys two guesses.
Peacock reminds me of somebody from Galveston. He reminds me of Backy for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give you guys two guesses. Where is Abraham Toro from?
Abraham Toro?
I'm going to say probably, U.S. I think you're tricking us.
Yeah, I think he's from...
Abraham
Toro.
He's from Toro. He's going to be from Kansas.
Wrong.
Spain.
Wrong.
Kentucky.
Sweden.
Wrong. He's where? Canadian.
What?
See, I knew it. I knew it was a... Who was closest? I said Sweden. It's almost like Canada.
It's not.
Well, it's just like
they may
Canada.
They may have universal health care.
Okay,
in both places,
I'm going to give you both the chance to guess where is Brian McCann from?
Brian McCann?
Georgia.
Yeah. He's from, well.
See, you're.
I'm not. Yeah. I didn't see it.
He just feels Georgia. He was born in Georgia.
Yeah, he does feel Georgia.
You can just feel. Dell, turn your computer off. I think you're cheating.
I didn't
right
see
now.
It. I know he's from the U.S. I know he's from Georgia. I just guessed that.
See, you can just kind of have a feel for, like, where would you think Jake Marisnyk was born?
Jake Marisnyk?
You're going to get it.
Oh, California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just going to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember during the World Series, there was an Asian guy sitting in the dugout for at least one at bat, right? Yeah.
How about Colin McHugh? He's kind of mealy.
Yuli.
Now.
Remember Yuli? He was Asian for a little while.
Where's Colin McHugh?
For all of, like, what, 4 seconds?
Colin McHugh's kind of a mealy mouth guy. Like, hey,
whoa, wow,
just
wow.
Throws little.
His wife listens to the show.
Oh, she doesn't.
Yes, she does.
She doesn't live here.
Busy or Buzzy, whatever her name is.
Ashley Buzzy McHugh.
She doesn't listen. Why do you know she listens to the show?
Because they love Houston, okay?
Okay.
Where's Colin
from?
McHugh?
When
seems,
I say where
he seems like Maine.
Where I say where he's from, you're going to say,
I don't know. He seems like Maine or
let's
Vermont.
That's a good now. That's a good point. That's right. A good point. He doesn't. He lives in Illinois. So where would you live if you lived in?
He's a. Well, going
no,
after
no, no,
Illinois?
No. Where would you live if you lived in Illinois? And you're saying Maine or Vermont?
Peoria.
No. Where did Sean Pendergast live?
He lived in Connecticut. Oh, he lived. Oh, in the suburbs.
Naperville.
Naperville.
Doesn't
that's
Colin
a rich?
McHugh,
yeah.
That feels Colin McHugh
really
feels.
Rich.
That feels very Naperville.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It fits him. Brad Peacock is from Galveston. I'm kidding. It just seems like he is. But if you're not from Galveston and you feel like Brandon Backey, like, God, he's got a Brandon Backey vibe. He feels like he lives in Galveston. But I tell you, he's not from Galveston. Which state do you immediately go to? See, you're on it. You're on it.
Right. Which state would I go to? I go to Oklahoma.
Where do they have where Brandon Backey was involved in a fight at a wedding where tasers
were
involved?
Yeah, right.
Where might that happen?
Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brad Peacock's from Florida. Not sorry that we put all
no,
of Brandon
but he's
Backey
not. Up. But just look, he just looks and kind of feels it. Brad Peacock is nothing like Brandon Backey.
Where Tyler White? Where would Tyler White be from?
Let's see.
No, don't go to that. Don't go to that. I don't have my gavel.
What the birthplace of what?
Where does Tyler White feel like he would be from, Dell?
What's Tyler White to me?
Well, he had the issue where depression was making him fat. Was that what was it? What didn't he have? Actually, had like an actual issue where
no,
he was,
I think he said he had hyperthyroidism.
Yeah, he actually had a medical issue.
That doesn't really have anything to do with their issue.
I'm just gonna say he's from California.
I'm gonna say
no.
What's the?
This feels pretty right to me.
My brain doesn't work. It doesn't work anymore. What's the really white place? It just east of Beaumont.
Jasper?
No.
Vider.
It feels like.
Why does he feel like he's from Vider? Because of what
white
you said.
Power.
That's no. You putting that but on him. That's not him.
He just couldn't wait to work that in.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to play it. But
right, what about if I told you North Carolina? He feels that feels right.
Okay.
For him.
All right.
Evan Gattis. Where's Evan Gattis?
Oh, see, he seems like Georgia to
me,
too.
He seems like Georgia, too. Yeah. But maybe because he played for the Braves.
Because he looks like McCann.
And he played for the Braves. But where Evan Gattis could be, there's only like four states Evan Gattis could be.
I'm going to say North Dakota.
Not the baseball program.
You remember his Whataburger order?
Oh, that's right. He's from here.
Yep.
Yeah, Dallas area, right?
From Dallas.
Yeah. That's right. He did that on our show.
Triple meat, triple cheese.
Oh, Mike
Fiers. Mayonnaise both sides.
Yeah.
Where would Mike Fiers be from?
Mike Fiers is from Ratville.
Ratville, Florida? Because he's from Hollywood, Florida. Florida.
He looks like a rat.
Oh, wow.
His face looks like a rat.
All right, and this is your last. No, I can't do Devo. I think we know where Devo's from. What about Charlie?
Charlie Morton?
Yeah.
You know what? He's so laid back. I'm going to go.
It's impossible for you to get Charlie. And I also question. Okay, so now I got to look at the high school. Because where he was born, you'll never get. Where he went to high school is what I'm going to start looking at. So where did he go to high school? What state?
I'm going to say California.
Nope.
He's so laid back.
Connecticut.
See? I would have said Connecticut.
Yeah, that was waiting for you. But where he was born, that's where he went to high school. Where he was born is New Jersey. You never would have gotten New Jersey.
Oh, no.
But Connecticut, yeah.
Yes.
I would also thought Pennsylvania would have also been an acceptable answer. If you had said Pennsylvania. How about Tony Kemp. Dell, I'll let you do this one. Tony Kemp.
Well, I know where he went to school, college. Didn't he go to Vanderbilt?
Yes, he went to Vanderbilt.
Did he go to? Was he born in Tennessee?
Yeah, he was Tennessee. He was through and through. Franklin, Tennessee, was where he was born. He went to high school there, and then he went to Vanderbilt. Homegrown, Tony Kemp. What about Tony? I'll let you do Tony Sip.
Why does Dell have to do?
Seems a little targeted at me for whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Profiling.
Be a little less obvious.
I've had John do several in a row. I'm letting Dell
be a little less obvious, Lance.
I'm letting Dell do some now.
Why can't I?
Tony Sipp was his favorite player for 4 years.
For obvious reasons.
Tony Sipp. Where do you think he's from?
I've never heard Tony Sipp talk.
I don't think I did either. I saw him spray champagne in someone's face like he was...
Like what?
Because of money, Joe.
Like he was like he was on Pornhub?
Yes. What? Like he was.
Like, hey, I know where you got that move from.
Hey, that's a Peter North move. Okay, so
I'm gonna go.
I'm gonna tell you that it's east of the Mississippi.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm gonna go. Tony Sipp is from.
It's southeastern.
South Carolina.
Mississippi. Moss Point, Mississippi was his high school. And he was born in Pascagoula. Okay. That's a fun game, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow we'll do the 2018 roster. That was the 17 roster. Tomorrow we'll do 2018.
But the game will be called Mexican or Not.
Well, we took a lot of L's on that one. I didn't. John just kept saying,
I thought Chirinos was Mexican.
Mexican, like none of them were Mexican. That one's Mexican. No, Colin Moran was not Mexican, John.
You sure? I thought Colin McHugh was, but okay, never mind. 840 ESPN 97.5. When we come back, let's talk some Texans football. Because our Texans, first of all the coaches, you got position coaches.
I mean, camp is going on. It doesn't feel like it, does it?
No, because we can't be out there.
All right, but camp is going on. This is every coach's dream. No media's here. This is the best.
And everything is virtual. But
all the coaches were interviewed, and there were some we'll pull one or two. We'll pull a question and an answer from every coach, anything that makes the most sense, and we can go from there. But you do have – there are some questions that were asked that I think the general football fan would ask. Like Kahale Waring, a tight end, question was asked about him in the tight end position. And Jordan Thomas and Kahale Waring were both singled out with answers. So those are two guys who didn't play last year. Thomas actually was a factor in 2018-19. He was out for the year. Kahale Waring was a draft pick who third or fourth? Waring was either third or fourth middle round pick, and he didn't play last year.
Hasn't seen the field.
Yeah.
Gotta get him out there. Let's go. Get him out there. But He's we an got athlete, and there's some code words that you'll see in there for guys from different coaches. And you understand. Why some guys have to work on. But Let's talk right now. I saw Fred on the Twitch yesterday. His hair is flowing. I mean, it is just, it's like, wow, Fred, after not having any, all of a sudden it's like, he looks like he's going to have a ponytail any second now. And that's all because of Doc Linville. And Doc Linville does unbelievable. I mean, he's a miracle worker with your hair. Okay. I feel like this is the best head of hair that I've had in 20 years, maybe more. I started balding, I don't know, when I was early 30s or so. And it was just, it's just like, wow, this is, I hate that. I've hated it forever. And my boys always used to make fun. You got a big divot out of the back. Not anymore. I don't get any of that anymore. You know why? Doc Linville. And you can get that too. And if you're sick of it, I mean, it's not, listen, it's so you don't, so you say, well, so what, you lose? No, you don't want it. You know, would you rather be bald or have hair? Have hair, obviously. So if you're looking for hair and you want it and it's your hair, it's not a rug and it's your hair, neo-grafting, and it's basically painless and it is something that you can do so easily, why not do it? 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We're back on the show. It's 8:44 here on ESPN 97.5. It's The Bench, 713. Biscuit, good call from Biscuit earlier. A little back and forth led to some conversation back and forth. If you guys want to jump in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. There really isn't a lot to say about the Astros anymore. The bullpen wasn't good, bunch of rookies. Lance McCullers was shelled in the fourth inning. They had some home runs, yada, yada.
Yeah.
You got the Rockets. They take on the Lakers. We'll see if the Lakers show up or if they're still in cruise control. We'll see how the Rockets handle any defensive, like, it is going to be interesting, John, to see if the Lakers, how, if they try to use their size against the Rockets and how they defend James Harden in the wake of how Portland defended him. But yesterday, and this is kind of a rarity, all the positional coaches, I think every single positional coach spoke yesterday to the media in camp, and they answered anywhere from 4 to about 8 questions. Bill O'Brien didn't speak, but we hear him all the time. And I thought there was some interesting comments and things that came out yesterday.
Yeah, one was asked about, first of all, let's go with special teams and who's going to be returning kicks, potential return man. Obviously, DeAndre Carter. And he says Kiki QT going to get some chances. Randall Cobb has returned. Will Fuller, Duke Johnson. This worries me in just a little bit. Those are 4 injury-prone dudes. Kiki, Randall Cobb, Will Fuller, and Duke Johnson. Those are 4 guys that I don't know, especially if, let's say Duke Johnson is actually having a good year. Do you want to risk him on having, does anybody want to risk him as a returner?
Nope.
At $13 million this year?
$13 million.
Hey, he's David making 13 million.
Did you say for Duke or David?
David. Oh, I'm sorry. I said Duke. Yeah. That's right. Duke. Yeah, Duke. Duke needs to be out there.
Duke is your second back, and Duke might be your best back.
So yeah, I was thinking David. I don't know why I was thinking David.
Yeah.
I was thinking David.
I don't want Duke Johnson returning kicks. I don't want either of my top 2 running backs returning kicks. Nope. Although, you know, there's not many kicks that get returned anymore, but that's the job of your fifth wide receiver. Or a DB, I don't know. It's not going to be those. It shouldn't be those 2 guys.
Here's where it's different this year is that you've got 2 guys that are both, they do the same things. And they're running back. And Tim Kelly talked about it a little bit, and their running back coach talked about it too, is that you got two guys that can be on the field on third down. Whereas Duke, if it was a pressing situation last year, probably was going to be, it was probably going to be Duke on the field. So you're probably in a better spot this year, and you can have both guys. And they talked a little bit about Duke and a two-back set with Duke and David Johnson on the field at the same time, which would be, let's say...
Who runs that, though? I almost never see that in the NFL anymore.
Two-back sets?
Yeah, we used to see it with the old 49ers.
Well, it'll be a full... Yeah, the fullback. You know, one of them is a fullback.
There's your two-back is if you got a true fullback. But the only way that that works is if you actually believe that that guy could be a lead blocker, then play action works.
Well, I could certainly see, though, Duke going in motion.
Yeah. Out of a gun where you're doing zone read stuff. Yeah, I could see that.
And not only that, but you send him out that way, and now Duke comes out of the backfield this way, and, you know, you've got a couple of options out of the backfield where you've got running backs on linebackers.
So here's how you have to match up. It sounds like two back sets. Both of them are pass catchers. If you're a defense, you have to treat it like one of them's a wide receiver. You have to treat it like a three wide receiver set, 11 personnel. Yeah. So as soon as if both of those running backs are in, theoretically you think, man, we can line them both up in the backfield and then roll them out of the backfield.
You might get one of them lined up, and you know what? You take advantage of it if one of them's lined up on a linebacker.
Well, yeah, that's a dream come true. No. What I'm saying is if you see them both in, you've got to go to your small personnel. Yeah,
guess what? I see the Texans doing that all the time, lining up linebackers on running backs.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is you don't treat it like it's a two-back, like it's a 12 personnel where, you know, that's a heavier personnel group with a fullback usually and a running back. If you have Duke Johnson and David Johnson, you're treating that like 11, like it's three wide receivers, which means you're coming with another defensive back. And now maybe that's what you want. Maybe you scheme them into that, and maybe that's something that you do.
And then run the ball.
I think Bill O'Brien is pretty good about scheming. I think Bill O'Brien is pretty good at scheming those type of potential mismatches. Here's a question that was asked. How will the running game look different? Let me get this one. How difficult is it installing your offensive schemes? This is to Tim Kelly, the new play caller and quarterback coach and offensive coordinator. How difficult is installing your offensive schemes, plans, and plays without the benefits of the offseason programs? He said, we'd much rather be able to practice it and be able to get those reps at full speed, but that's not the case right now. I was just excited to be able to communicate with those guys on a daily basis and have those conversations with them. We really focused on trying to make the best of the situation. The one thing that came from it all was there was much more communication between the players over these mediums than what we had in the past. It really forced them to communicate. So now we've gotten that box checked. Now once we get on the field, we're going to be able to finally put in motion what we've started practicing here. So they are going to be behind, but one of the things he brings up is that, hey, look, this is a big benefit that these players actually are doing a lot of communicating between each other. So maybe, you know, that is a big deal. I didn't find anything. Did you have anything good from the special teams coach? I guess the return
stuff. That's about it.
And then for JJ, okay, defensive end JJ Watt said he feels the best he's felt since 2015 because he had nothing to do during quarantine except work out. What do you think about him so far? As you've seen of him. This is Anthony Weaver, the new defensive coordinator, said he looks enormous. He looks like he can go out there and play a game tomorrow. JJ saying that doesn't surprise me one bit. He's one of the most disciplined human beings I've ever been around. It's really not shocking to hear that as much as it is, as is kind of what's expected. For a young guy, maybe they wouldn't be able to handle this scenario where they're not in such a structured environment. Not being in there, hey, be here at 8 o'clock, be here at 10 o'clock for lifting. Or you've got to eat this. JJ doesn't need that. He's going to do that on his own and make sure he's prepared to go out there. See, this is the real key. The guys with the high football character who are self-starters, they're going to be the ones who are more likely to come out ready to roll. They're not going to get injured with soft tissue injuries because they know what it's supposed to. You know, that's already their lifestyle. And this gets back to something Jay Williams said about Zion that I want to bring in too. He said, this is JJ's lifestyle. This is just who he is. This is his lifestyle. For other guys who don't know how to prepare, not having the structure of, okay, I'll work my way into shape, all right, I'll rely on training table to get me where I need to be, those guys could end up being the soft tissue injury guys. It's not going to shock me if we have a lot of injuries in camps early on. So that's something worth noting is that, having a team full of self-starters is a huge benefit as it pertains to potential health early in the season or even early in camps, because those guys are going to be more stretched, more limber. They will have been eating right. They will not have to have coaches or a structure telling them that this is what they got to do every day. That's just what they do.
Yeah.
Which I don't know who that is on the Texans. I mean, we know J.J. Watt, but I don't know how the other guys are. I have no idea. And maybe we'd be surprised. Maybe there's some guys that we consider to be, you know, workout guys who really didn't do much on their own. That's a possibility also.
So looking at deficiencies for each team, the one for the Texans was the secondary. I don't know. Is it secondary or is it outside linebacker that you would think? What are you more? You're getting such little production out of Whitney. You're getting such little production. Charles Menehue, he's got to step up.
Better?
No, he was better, he's got to be. You know, yeah, he's got to get more. Well, first of all, you got to know, is he going to be on the field a lot? And this and their linebacker coach, Chris Rumpf, says, I love Charles. Recruited him, like you said, a Tech, but what a wonderful young man. Besides being a really good football player, he's a great young man. So that's a good sign for Menehue. But with Jacob Martin, Jonathan Greenard, Charles Menehue, Whitney Mercilus.
I think we're not sure.
I think that's what I'm saying. Scarlett, that's what I'm saying.
I think we're not sure. I would rather be not sure that I feel, unfortunately, I feel kind of sure.
Edge of four.
So Duke is highly
skilled. But again,
he
hasn't done it.
Duke showed signs. Last year was going to be a year that I thought he would have, you know, we'll see how he does coming off a year where he missed the whole year. Duke Ejiofor, we're not sure. He has some talent, but we're not sure. Then you got, you know, Jonathan Greenard. He's a rookie, so I don't think you can expect too much from him. Jacob Martin, actually, by the end of the year, I thought he was one of the most active pass rushers they had.
He absolutely was.
He's kind of interesting.
At the end of the year, he outperformed Whitney.
Yeah, he's intriguing to me. I think that I'm kind of interested to see what he does. Whitney is who he is.
What is he?
And then you mentioned and Brennan Scarlett, whenever he's healthy, and that's another one who gets hurt. When Brennan Scarlett is healthy, I actually think there's a chance that the edge rushers for the Texans could come up and have a decent year this year. I don't feel that confident about the Texans. You know, there's rumor has it that the Texans are very down on Lonnie Johnson. Very, very down on Lonnie Johnson. And if that's the case, that's a big concern because he was just, you know, this is only his second year. And if they already think they missed on him that early, and I had some questions about Lonnie coming out because he never found the football. Like, to me, he was all height, weight, speed traits and needed a lot of refinement for football. But if Lonnie doesn't get it done, Gary and Conley, you know, there's questions about Gary and Conley, who was already dealt away after being a first-round pick. The Raiders couldn't wait to get rid of him. That's just – I feel like there's more likelihood that they're not that good, that they're below average in the secondary, where at least I have a little bit of hope at the edge. And maybe it's just because I haven't seen some of those guys that much. I've seen Gary and Conley plenty. I don't think that's going to be great. Eric Murray is a nice player. We'll see what he does. He can play corner or safety. I'm interested to see what they do with him. Now, the secondary coach, De'Anton Lynn, is Anthony Lynn's son. The team is very high on him. They think he is a really good coach. There's already talks about him being a future, you know, defensive coordinator somewhere. So, you know, that's nice having a coach that has that kind of respect around the league. You love Justin Reed. He was asked, does it seem like Justin Reed is becoming the quarterback of this defense and wants a role like that? And Lynn said, it does for sure. It's been cool to see him going from year one, two, now to year three, just to see him mature on and off the field. This year especially, you can really see it, especially in the DB room. That really is his room now, and not just the DB room, but the entire defense. Other than Bernardrick McKinney, he really knows the defense just as much as anybody. And that's great, and that was expected of him coming out. Once again, I thought he was a late first round talent is the grade I put on him. When he fell to the first pick of the third round, I was just shocked that he lasted that long. He's big, he's fast, he can hit. He made some mistakes, but they were not being dumb; they were being aggressive. You can tamp back aggressive. They weren't mistakes that he's not athletic enough to recover from, things like that. He had everything that you wanted. He's intelligent, like. That's going to end up being a steal. Just it already is a steal. getting him in the third round.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. No, he is he's the quarterback back there. There's no question about that. Yeah, Eric Murray is the one for me. He's a safety. He's played corner. He's played star. Justin Reed's played safety and played star. They have corners who can play in the slot, slot guys who can play on the outside. Now, he talks up Lonnie Johnson. He said he's had a really good offseason.
Hmm. What does that mean? I'm being serious. What does an offseason mean? A really good offseason? You didn't have OTAs.
Right.
What does a good offseason mean?
I don't know what that means. As far as Lonnie goes, he had a good rookie year, great offseason from a playbook-wise maturity standpoint. When they drop the maturity thing on you, that means you were very immature last year.
Yeah, a playbook standpoint. Okay, I know what that means.
Yep.
I know what a playbook and maturity. He had a great offseason from a playbook and maturity. With all due respect to any coach, how the do you know what a guy was doing from a maturity standpoint? How do you know?
Well, maybe he was actually studying this offseason.
Yeah, I guess it's maturity relative to what you were used to last year. But even then, it's limited.
Yeah.
Even then, it's limited.
Well, now they've had a lot of virtual meetings.
Phone calls and
stuff. They've talked a lot.
I mean, he showed up on Zoom meetings. It was great. Did he go to any parties or anything?
Well, I don't know about that. You can already see the differences from year one to year two. So we're excited to see what he's going to do when the pads come on. I imagine he got a little talking to.
I'm virtually sure that I don't want to see him on Travis Kelce week one. I'm virtually sure about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That didn't look all that tutti-frutti, did it?
He did hurt his ankle. Did you know that? He hurt his ankle early in the game.
Yeah.
And the rest of the time, he struggled. He actually made some plays early. I can tell you this, to play in the NFL, he's either going to have to, I think he may have to turn into a safety. I think he may have to become a safety to be an NFL starter. That may have to happen. Now, we'll see. I mean, he's got the traits to be a starter and a big physical press corner, but it wasn't great last year. So we'll see what happens this year.
Do you have any idea what I'm doing right now?
We have playing to golf?
No.
Virtual golf, looking at I was pretty much right. He's watching golf.
PGA Championship.
Yeah.
On ESPN
that's
Plus.
That's a really clear picture.
What are you two doing? That is awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a really good picture.
Welcome to Harding Park, everybody. My show is over.
Well, Lance, if you wanted to watch golf outside, where would you go to get your patio?
Texas
done?
Custom Patios. I was actually, even though it's super hot, I spent some time out there yesterday. And it's just so much fun to have your own place to get away. And Texas Custom Patio. So we're talking about all the, you know, all the different virtual meetings that football players are having to go through. And that is, you know, that's their reality. But one of the realities that we have from the standpoint of from a business standpoint is a lot of these companies are trying and some are failing when it comes to being able to convey their messages through video conferencing. Well, that is not the case with Texas Custom Patios. In fact, they're as busy as ever. And one of the reasons is because they've become very efficient and very effective at showing you exactly what your homes are going to look like through their CAD system, where they draw and design exactly what your space will be. And they can even take prior work that they've done, because they've done so many outdoor living spaces and patios and outdoor kitchens. They can take a house that is built similar to yours and with the outdoor looks that are similar to yours, and they can show you before and after so that you have a true sense of what it may look like with a real project. And of course, their renderings are insanely accurate. Make sure that you get the best of your outdoor living space. Make your house a home. And for many of you out there, you've decided, wait a minute, this quarantining, this staying at home has made me realize I want to be able to truly enjoy an outdoor living space. And they are here for you. They have been, and they will continue to do so. They're award winners every single year, because not only are they great at the design part, but their building and their customer service and the true value of dollar for dollar value when it comes time to sell your home is always going to be there. TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.